All right, welcome to the inaugural podcast for the North Fulton Drama Club podcast. That's what we have here. My name is Thomas Strickland. I'm here with Melissa Jackson, Nikki Strickland, and Matt Ramsey. A few introductions here. I run grabbingsand.com. That is my blog, where I typically talk about politics, music, and comic books. And yeah, odd things like that, thanks to my geeky childhood. Nikki.
I run alindalux.com, where I talk about, shockingly enough, politics, lately how tired I am, also drama club, and a lot of random stuff myself.
And I'm Alyssa. I run dramawench.livejournal.com, and I talk about politics, theater, Harry Potter, and assorted other myself a lot. It's a very personal blog.
See, I knew that you would have to admit the Harry Potter thing.
Yeah, that's my geek flag, and I fly it high and proud.
You should, and we'll introduce Matt later. Right now, he's mystery guest. You want to say something mysterious there, Matt?
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. All right. So, what is North Fulton Drama Club? Anyone want to field that one?
Well, I believe I said to someone on the phone 2 or 3 weeks ago that we're a bunch of old theater dorks who've gotten together to make our own organization, and we're just in it for the fun.
We're a community theater based out of North Fulton, which is Roswell, Georgia, and we're here to have a good time and practice theater arts.
And not to make any money.
For non-profit.
No.
Non-profit.
Not so much non-profit as just no money.
North Fulton, that's pretty obvious because of where we are located, outside the perimeter.
Ooh.
OTP, baby. Drama Club. There's a story behind Drama Club. It's not necessarily because we want to be exclusive. It's quite the opposite. We want to be inclusive. We came up with this idea while we were on the road to see another friend of ours do a play in Calhoun. Friend of ours named Zip. You can find him at thezipman.com. He's doing a show up there. And along the way, we were talking about our previous experiences in community theater, both good and bad. And we were thinking the thing that always seems to go wrong, or not quite right, not to say wrong, with community theater is that people tend to bring their own personal drama into the drama that they should be putting on stage. So we thought that should be a rule, kind of like Fight Club. So the first rule of Drama Club is don't bring your own personal drama into Drama Club. And the second rule of Drama Club is
don't bring your personal drama to Drama Club.
Exactly.
As we're finding, though, keeping the personal drama out of Drama Club is more a function of the three of us keeping other people's personal drama out of Drama Club than people actually keeping their own personal drama out of Drama Club.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, I know. You're
meant to talk to you.
Matt, I swear to God. So what are we doing? We're doing Love's Labour's Lost.
A little-known, little-produced Shakespeare play that is all funny and not a lot of complexity. The plot is actually very accessible for Shakespeare. You don't really have to be all knowing much about Elizabethan England or why he wrote it or what was going on or anything like that. It's just some silly rich people fall in love and do some silly stuff.
You shouldn't need Cliff Notes before arriving to this play, as opposed to perhaps Titus Andronicus or any of the history plays, Henry the Tenth, or
Henry
Richard the Eighth, or any of the other lovely plays like that.
900.
And we're doing this starting May 12th. With any luck, you'll be hearing this before we go up on May 12th. We are doing this for two weekends in May, May 12th, May 13th, and the following, which is
the 19th and the 20th.
Yes.
And maybe a Sunday matinee. We haven't decided yet.
Yeah, maybe Matt a Sunday matinee. You hadn't heard that yet.
No, I hadn't. This yes, news had to me.
Clear
yes,
schedule.
Exactly. Don't
I'll
do anything
sure.
else on that day.
Check.
We're doing this in Roswell. We're doing it outside in Roswell.
We're going to be performing it at a beautiful old plantation house called Barrington Hall, right outside historic Roswell. It's a gorgeous, and actually the house was the inspiration for our setting of the show. We saw it. This was just so beautiful, this gorgeous white columned house and a beautiful lawn. And Nikki and Thomas were out to dinner one night and at a particular restaurant.
Shout out to Fridays.
TGI Fridays, yo. And Fridays, like many of these chain restaurants, has sort of tchotchke stuff on the wall, pictures and memorabilia of types. And this one happened to have this picture of the Kennedy clan on vacation in Hyannisport. And Nikki was looking at it and said, wow, that house they're standing in front of looks an awful lot like Barrington. Hey, what a cool idea. Why don't we set our show, 1963, Camelot, the height of American society. And we said, well, I think that's a fantastic idea. So that's what we're running with.
And after all, it's a show about rich people falling in love for ridiculous reasons. And they're the closest thing that we had to American royalty in the last however many years. Math fails me. So, we should introduce Matt.
We should.
We should, but we probably won't.
Yeah, we found Matt because his friend auditioned for us, and as I understand it, called you and said you should come audition too, which ended up being our great advantage, I think, in casting this play. Matt is playing Barone, which is the male lead on the side of the royals. Do you want to say hello?
Well, yeah. Thank you very much. I am playing the part of Barone, and my friend Michael Ashman was the person who called me. We roomed together in college, and he called me up and said, "Hey, these folks I think are looking for a lot of guys to come audition." And I actually hadn't done any theater in a while, and I said, "You know, why not?" I always have fun when I do it. It had been a long time since I'd done it, and I went. And Michael is playing the part of the king, who I think is the only person who doesn't talk as much as I do. Suffice it to say that by the end of the show, everybody will be tired of hearing my voice. Except for me, of course.
Well, of course. Because who else, who more than you likes the sound of your own voice?
No one. Maybe my mom.
Especially because you asked us to add more lines back into your role that we had previously cut out.
I did. Barone is very long-winded, and thankfully, a lot of the lines were cut for my part. Sorry for all you Shakespeare purists. I'm glad because I am very lazy and did not want to learn all of those lines.
As a side note, Shakespearean plays are almost always cut before production. Even in Shakespeare's time, plays were cut to suit the audience that they would be performed in front of. If you were performing in front of royalty, maybe take out some of the bits about how the king is not a good person, or cut for length, so on and so forth. We figure we are offering this play up for citizens of Roswell, and they have a sitting span of about two and a half hours.
Yeah, but we could only really cut about 5,000 words. Most of them are yours.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, well, I'm not. There's no need to apologize because, like I said, I'm struggling with. I'm not really struggling, but I'm more than content with the amount of lines that I have to learn. But I will say that I do think that it's an incredibly funny play. I like to think of it as Saved by the Bell, the Renaissance years. Because it's, you know, you got four kind of goofy guys trying to woo these four other girls who really, for the most part,
they're a lot smarter.
They are smarter, and they don't take it seriously, although they are, for the most part, we like to think, attracted to us. They still have more fun playing with us than anything, but not, you know, more playing with us in a mental sense. Let me clarify that statement really quick. For all the conservative people who may want to come, don't worry about that. It's more, you know.
It's a very family friendly.
It's head games.
Yeah, it doesn't have all the body moments that some of the comedies have.
But
it's a lot
all
more
the body language, if you can find it, it's still there.
You can
suss it out. Since we're all here, we're all organized, we're all introduced, I'm going to ask the most horrible question that is ever asked to anyone involved in drama, which is, how did you get involved in theater? Which has the same tone of, how did you get involved with drugs? Or, how did you get involved with organized crime? So I'm going to ask me a different way. Tell me one or both of these. Your first theater experience, and I'm talking first. So go back as far as you have to. And then your first real, between in quotation marks, real experience? And we'll just start with Nikki and go away.
My first theater experience, wow. I don't even know if I remember. That's kind of bad, isn't it? I know that the woman that taught drama in high school came and found me when I was in the eighth grade, and when I was about to graduate into high school, and wanted me to do a bunch of stuff. And I think I didn't end up really doing drama per se. I did literary, which if you went to high school in Georgia, you know what that is. If you don't, I'm sorry. It's very difficult to explain. And I did debate and a few other things. And then I did one act play in my junior year, and that was fun. And I did it as well my senior year, and won a little award thing at a state level, and that was fun. And then in college, I really did more of a structured sort of improv type of work, and a little bit of work with the college drama department, but really I'm more of the person that makes things happen. I plan things, I structure things, I chase people down and make them show up. I'm really the organizer of the group, of anybody. I think that's more my role.
You're our producer.
Yes, if you want to use the big fancy term. Exactly, big fancy word. I'm not sure applies at all, but all right.
Melissa?
My very first theater experience was in kindergarten. I went to elementary school in New Jersey, where I was born, and there every year the kindergartners put on plays like a lot of people do at Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we were putting on the Thanksgiving play. And I was cast as the chief Indian. And as my mother tells it, I was not only doing my role as the chief Indian, but running around and telling everybody their part as well, because I'm bossy like that. And apparently it's carried over. So that was my first taste of theater. And then we moved immediately after to Georgia, and I got really shy, and I had a very awkward middle school type period. So
you're not shy.
I was then. I was. If people know me now, they wouldn't believe it, but I was very quiet, completely introverted, just not the person I am today. So to break me out of that, my mother found out about a community theater for children in Marietta called Curtain Call Youth Players. And they had started up the year before, so I came in their very second play ever, which was Peter Pan, and I was cast as an Indian. And it was great fun. I had a blast, and it slowly turned me into the outgoing, bubbly human being I am now. And I kept going with that theater and did it through high school and did high school theater in college, and I was on the board of directors of the community theater Town and Gown in Athens for 2 years before I moved back to Atlanta. So this is my first theater experience back in Atlanta, and I'm loving it.
Matt?
Well, I may not be actually right about my very first dramatic experience, because most of elementary school certainly was a blur for me. But the first thing that I remember doing that was real drama was, I kind of lived all over the place, but we were living in Pennsylvania for a while. And in middle school, in sixth grade, my older sister was in the high school that was connected to the middle school, and they were doing a production of South Pacific, and they needed two younger people to play the children of the main characters. And so I went out and auditioned for that and made it and got it. And, you know, it was cool because I thought I was hot stuff because I was in middle school, but I was in the high school musical, and I was way too cool for everybody else. And so I went through that, and actually for high school productions, what that school put on were very, what I still remember is being very top-notch, very, very well done. And when I started high school there, I started to do that. Moved down to Georgia about the middle of my sophomore year of high school and got involved, like Nikki, in literary and those kind of competitions, one acts. Fortunately, I was in Paulding County High School. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the high school hierarchy in the North Metro Atlanta area, Paulding County is right there. You might as well live in Alabama, basically. So I was doing that for a while, but it wasn't a very strong program, we'll say, kind of out in the boondocks. So I kind of lost it, and I actually started focusing my artistic outlets elsewhere, mainly music, things like that. Did a few things in college, just with friends that were fun. Dinner theater, I was in a production of Into the Woods, and a couple of one acts, and it was fun. And I really hadn't done much of anything, and this is really kind of like, Alyssa, this is my first foray into the dramatic realm here of community theater in the North Atlanta metro area. So I'm very and I'm very excited about it. I'm very glad I'm very glad Michael called me and said, "Hey, you should come audition," because I'm having a great time so far, and it's I think it's going to be an excellent show, and I'm very very happy to be part of it.
Fantastic. As far as me, my first theater experience, I'm going to say my first one without a speaking role, I was privileged to play the part of Joseph in a Christmas show where there wasn't a speaking. There was just, hey, look, it's Mary and Joseph and little plastic baby Jesus at the Methodist Church. That was when I was about six or so. I was a bit young to be a father, but I took my role very seriously. I was more pleased later when I was in our church's production of Heavenly Committee Plans Christmas, where I played the part of the rebel angel. It was a highlight of my acting career, to be quite sure. My first real theater experience, I'm a bit older than the rest of you. Not by much, but I'm a bit older. My high school did not have, I don't need to do. Nikki is holding up a number of fingers, many of them, both hands.
I couldn't count them because I'm slow.
Matt is slow. He can't count. He went to school in Paulding.
Exactly.
Our high school did not have a drama department. Had it had a drama department, I would have had more fun in high school. So I didn't get involved in theater until I was in college. And I only got involved in theater at Berry College because I was in the cafeteria. And a couple of friends of mine said, "You know, you should go audition for this play." I said, I don't act." He said, come on, you're a male. We need men. That's really all you need to know." So I went and I auditioned, and I was cast in the production 90 Years, The History of Berry College. Very, very, it's a classic piece of theater. It's fantastic. Oh, yes. Ended up minoring in theater at Berry, eventually moving to Atlanta. And in 98, started doing shows in Roswell with Roswell Village Playhouse. I can't remember the first show I did there. It was a Oscar Wilde show. It's pretty fun. Since then, I've done more shows there. I've done some shows, more outdoor Shakespeare with Theater Noble. And this year, we're doing Shakespeare again, outside. And we're more prepared. Bring bug spray. That's very important. So now we've all established that. Do any of you see many plays? I know that the two of us, Nikki and I, we don't see very many plays around here. The last good play we saw outside of this country.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we saw Richard II in London, but I don't think that counts.
That doesn't
for this
count.
Discussion.
I have seen a lot of shows around Atlanta. Atlanta is an interesting scene for theater because while it's not as professional as New York and Chicago, it's not as established. It has a very rich theater tradition. There are a lot of people here who have done a lot of theater for a long time, and we're lucky to have quite a few theaters that range in size, from the Fox that produces the big musicals to the Alliance, which is also starting to do big musicals and wonderful stage plays, all the way down to small theaters like Horizon and Seven Stages.
Push Push.
I mean, there's so many great theaters in Atlanta. And we're lucky that we have patrons who are willing to pay to see shows. We have an audience in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's like the only thing that doesn't scare me is from seeing Noble New Theater outside for Shakespeare is that I don't know where they find out, but people show, and it's nice.
Pat?
Actually, I don't see very many shows around here. In fact, the last show I did see was when Phantom was at the Fox as far as straight theater as far as Atlanta goes. In Athens, I did see a few things. I went to the University of Georgia. University of Palm, a few shows that I went to go see. I also saw just one show at the Town and Gown where Alyssa was helping out at. And it was, and actually that was very enjoyable. And I do, so I kind of feel a little bit hypocritical in saying, you should come see our show because it's great, because I really haven't seen them many myself, but I most certainly will now, knowing that, if things like this are going on And they're very fun, very exciting things, very funny shows, with very, very capable casts. People that are, that's one thing I really enjoy about our show is that I think it's cast very, very well. And I commend you people sitting here for having the courage to put on such a production. But you knew more than I did, I guess, about the kind of caliber of people that were going to come out.
Actually, we had no idea.
Well,
we were just crossing our fingers.
We were terrified, actually.
We were sitting upstairs. We had rehearsed the auditions in a barn, basically, behind...
A converted barn.
Has
air conditioner, be nice.
Yes.
Behind Barrington Hall. And we were upstairs. We had one of our friends downstairs acting as wrangler. And auditions were starting at 6:30. So it's about 6:15, and we're sitting upstairs, and we're just staring at each other going,
hope people show up.
No one's going to show up. What the hell have we gotten ourselves into? No one is going to come. And when the first car pulled up,
we cheered, actually.
And Katie called, our friend Katie called upstairs and said, you know, you have people coming. Oh, God, you have more people coming. I think I just saw 5 cars pull up. We all got up from the table and started doing this little dance.
It was great.
It was great. And we knew, you know what? I think... this is actually going to work. This crazy idea that germinated literally within a month from the time we had the first idea to when we put up posters and had auditions, it was about a month.
Yeah, you didn't think we were serious.
I didn't.
I called you and said, yeah, we bought the URL.
Yeah, we'd been kicking around this idea and we'd come up, you know, with our snazzy slogan and drama club. It's going to be great. I had sort of thought it was something we would mull over for a while and it would maybe not come to nothing because a lot of ideas like that, people have crazy ideas all the time, and a lot of times they don't come to anything. And when you guys called me and said, hey, we bought the URL, so we're totally going to go for this. I was like, okay, great. There goes my life for the next 4 or 3 months. But it's really working out well.
It's not a bad life. It just doesn't get a lot of sleep.
Right.
No. sleep is for after the show goes. After the show closes, we can sleep then. But it just goes to show what you can do if you have the courage to make a phone call. Because that's really all it came down to. What an artist, I mean, I hesitate. I mean, I guess we're artists. I'm not sure.
Artists.
We're artists. What someone
with a lot of moxie can do is call the city of Roswell and say, hi, would you like to do theater outside? We sort of would think we might like to do Shakespeare. Could you give us a space? And then they give you a space, but they can't give you any money, which... we kind of didn't want anyway because we weren't sure how we would deal with that. So it turned out fine. And then you people showed up and it was cool.
Yeah, a lot of thanks goes to Morgan Timmons with the City of Roswell. It was very, you know, emailed her and she was so keyed up about the idea of doing Shakespeare. It's like, wow, okay. And I guess we'll do it. That's fantastic. Why do you do this? Why is this worth doing?
I think... and I've said this about 1,000 times within your hearing and probably other people's as well, but I think that what community theater is about is not only auditioning people that when you see them in front of you and they're reading, you know, the sides or whatever, that you can see that they're absolutely an excellent actor, which happened to us a few times, but that seeing people who have some potential, seeing people who have something that hopefully, you know, you and your crew can coach out of them, can direct them into being the actor that you can see beyond, you know, the uncertainty or the shyness or whatever like that. Or just, there are people, there's a guy in our show who is 35, probably 36, maybe a little bit older. He's never done any theater ever in his life, but he thought he wanted to do this and he's with us and he's showing up and he really wants to do it, you know? And so it's about giving those people a chance and putting that out there and showing people that there is a chance for personal growth in theater. It's not just about, you know, this narcissistic idea of, you know, a diva or whatever, these people that are just in it for themselves. It's about having the opportunity to learn something, about being around people from whom you can learn, about, you know, with our Longueville and our Dumaine, Patrick and Sean, about Patrick being Sean's partner because they have a similar role, about the two of them helping one another toward putting together that that united front as the king's sidekicks. And it's about giving people this opportunity to learn something and to take themselves places they didn't think they could go. And it's not about casting 16, which is the size of our cast, people who are all of them utterly professional and they've done paid stuff and whatever. No, it's not about that. It's about showing the community that people within the community have the opportunity to come out and do this and do a really good job, do a better job than they think they're able to do. And since I'm organizing, since I'm facilitating, you know, that's my job, to give these people the ability to show up on time, to schedule them so they can be there, to make sure that they're in the scene where they should be, to give them, you know, the materials, to push them out there and let them be directed, to encourage them, in some cases, to listen to them complain, you know, and to make sure they feel like they're heard. It's just, it's an awesome opportunity to give people the opportunity to do something that I had the opportunity to do when I was a lot younger, when I was pushed toward doing it by someone who really believed in me, who didn't even know me. And, you know, to give someone else that opportunity is an amazing thing. And it's to see some of these people already, just in the first 2 weeks of rehearsals, just to go ahead and take that step and to blossom and to hear them pushing their voices out is great.
I'll be selfish. I do it because I love it. Theater is something, when you start, from the very first play I was in, I was an Indian. I had no lines. I did a little dance. I was, you know, 8 years old, and I wore glasses and braids, and it was amazing.
Do you still know that little dance?
I do. I can do it for you later. It's sexy. sexy as an 8 year old.
Sexy as an 8 year old can be.
It gets in your blood, and it makes me unhappy when I'm not doing it. And something my mom told me, I was considering being a theater major very, very seriously when I was in high school and looking at colleges, and that was my number one criteria for schools I was looking at, was did they have a decent theater program. And what stopped me was, she said, you know, obviously being the mother, wanted me to be practical and get a degree that I could use and would give me a good job. And she said, you know, theater can always be a hobby for you. And I was really offended at that. I was really angry with her, because she didn't understand how deep my love was and how home I felt on the stage. And now, when, you know, I didn't end up majoring in theater, I minored in it in college, but I was very involved all the way through. And when I got out of college, when I was still living in Athens, and I got involved with Town and Gown, I realized how rewarding it was as a hobby. Because the cool thing about Town and Gown was, we had people from every single walk of society. We had students, we had local farmers in shows, all the way up to the most powerful lawyers in Athens, all working together, coming together for this common goal. And it was incredible what we could do on the weekends and after work. And these shows that we put on were incredible. And to be able to have a job that I find incredibly rewarding and have this life aside from theater, but having theater still in it, is the perfect blend. Because it's never going to be something that I don't have to struggle every day going, okay, well, what part do I have to take because I need to get paid? It's never going to be like that. It's, for me, it's going to be that supplement. It's going to be that added bonus to my life.
Well, I, ever since an early age, kind of like Alyssa, I was a shy kid. And I really didn't say much for whatever reason. And really, in college, I didn't come out. Really didn't kind of come out of my shell, and now people have a hard time getting me shut up. But the one place I always felt comfortable was performing in some form or fashion, be it singing, playing instrument, acting, something like that is what I was always comfortable doing. And especially when it comes to theater, you put so much time and so much effort, and there's so much work that goes into a few performances, you know. And it's different, you know, when you play music in front of people, you rehearse it a little bit and then you play it a lot, you know. And it's very performance intensive, whereas this is much more rehearsal intensive, and you can get such a great payoff, you know, if you're out there and you're performing. And, you know, we're doing a comedy, so if we drop our jokes and people laugh, it's great. You say, yes, we did that. Either, you know, they got the script, or we didn't screw the script up as much as we were afraid we were going to, or we did it really, really well, whatever. You know, your timing's on, whatever. It's just great. It is so great, and there's just so much. It's so exciting, you know. And those are the funnest times of my life, actually, I can think of, is when, especially in a smaller cast, like we have here, and also when I was in the production of Into the Woods, it was a smaller cast. Folks got really close. You spent a lot of time with these people, and it becomes so much more, not just forming a script as it is a representation of your actual relationships with these people in real life, you know? And then, and I really think that when you put on a show like that, you can really, at least I would like to think that you can really tell if the people that are in this production have really had a good time doing it. You know, I think that's true from movies all the way down to this community theater that we're doing, you know, and I really think that a lot of us, if not all of us, I'm sure all of us are having a fantastic time. At least I know that I am. And it's something I look forward to because, to be honest with you, another big reason why I'm doing this play in particular is because before I was doing this, it was just go to work and go home. And now it's go to work and spend some fun time with some people doing rehearsal, doing something, putting something together, creative. You put it out there and it's, you know, and it's great. And then also on top of that, especially when I was offered this part, I'm planning on starting law school and there are so many lines I have to memorize here. It's at least a very good mental exercise with all the reading and memorization that is in my very near future. So so for the most part, that's why I really like doing it. That's why I'm kind of upset with myself that I haven't done it more recently. Is because you just get such a it's such a great you know accomplishment, and especially if you have people that are really getting along. I've known Michael, the individual who asked me to come to rehearsals that I'm in most of my scenes with. I've known him for years, and if nothing else, it's just fun to just be in some like that with an old friend, and you make new friends, and then you put this, you put out this show, which is just completely for somebody else, and you just entertain them. There's nothing really else that you can do that, that's like that, that you get the same sort of vibe as performing live in front of people, and you say, here's what you have. You know, we are giving you this, and this is for your enjoyment only, and just have a good time. That's why you're here. You're not at work. You're not at school. Whatever you're not doing it right now. Right now, you're kind of getting lost in what we're doing. Relax. Let us put on the show for you, and then your enjoyment will then give us more energy. So, and I think it's a great dynamic, and that's the main reason why I really love doing things like this.
To me, theater is therapy. When I started doing theater in college, I was lacking a certain amount of direction. I had an overactive imagination and lacked a lot of focus, especially in my classes. It took a lot of effort for me to stay on task with my normal classes. Once I started getting involved in theater, I had a place to put all of that excess energy that I had. I had a place to, that gave me the time, it gave me the mental space to actually do what I needed to do. And theater, like you said, Matt, is a very ephemeral art. The shows we do those four nights will be there for those people that come and see the shows. If people miss that, they miss it entirely. It's not like a painting. It's not like a recording. Theater puts a piece of art out there that is gone. As soon as the line is said, it's out there. It's gone. You heard it, and if you didn't hear it, that was an opportunity missed. And it makes it a very special thing to put so much energy and so much rehearsal time into something that is so precious. So thank you very much for listening to our podcast. With any luck, you'll hear this before we open. We open on May 12th. It's May 12th, May 13th.
May 19th and May 20th.
It's in Roswell at Barrington Hall. And it'll start at sundown. For more information, go to www.northfultondramaclub.org. Thank you much.